I should say good morning first. Morning. How have you been, Paul?
Good morning, Tom. I've been busy, but I've been having fun. I appreciate you letting me come down and talk with you.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, this non-incumbency, when you see a race like this, all agreed, right? Things are more up in the air in many respects.
It is, and it's a chance for the voters to really cast a vote on which direction they want the district to go, which direction they want the state to go. So it's fun. You have a lot. It's a lot more wide open.
It's interesting in speaking with other legislators, and I've mentioned this to you in past, that Senator Luchtefeld, sometimes affectionately called on the Senate floor Coach, when Coach speaks, people listen. And I think as a result, that seat may have some significance that maybe people inside the district may not realize, and that significance is on a statewide level.
Well, this is a district that I believe is a Luchtefeld district. It's not a Republican district. It's not a Democrat district. It's a Luchtefeld district. People supported Coach because he was one of the few that understood that it's not about going up to Springfield and being a partisan bomb thrower or getting into the food fights. It's about trying to do right by the people that you represent. So this really is, I think, kind of a bellwether district. It's a district where people vote the person, not the party, and it's going to be a referendum on which way we want our state to go.
People use colorful metaphors about the state of Illinois. Oh, we've got a big hill to climb, you know, we've got some significant challenges. Well, here's mine. We're off the cliff. We're off the cliff, and we're grasping in some level of desperation to find some finger hold as we go over at the last second to hold us on. And quite frankly, I'd back that metaphor up with the lack of a budget. And then the legislators and people in Springfield will tell me there's a vow that as long as Rauner's budget, there'll never be a year-long budget. It'll trickle out in six-month increments. You look at the pension debt. You look at our bond ratings. You look at the state going the longest without a budget. You literally can go down a litany of items where the face of Illinois is on the side of the milk carton. What can be done from a singular Senate position with you being a freshman senator that would be significant for your district in relationship to these financial problems?
Well, I think the most important thing that I can do as a single senator is go up there and talk about what is actually wrong with our state. That's one of the things that has been frustrating to me. It's one of the things that have been frustrating to the people that I've talked to. Nobody seems to want to talk about what it is that is killing Illinois. And the thing that is killing Illinois is the fact that the job creators do not want to come here. They do not want to stay here. And until you address that problem, we will never turn our state around. And it's so frustrating because you don't hear people talking about that out of Springfield. You hear people out of Springfield talking about new and creative ways to tax us as if that's going to solve the problem. You hear people talking about, oh, what's going to work to the Democrats' advantage? What's going to work to the Republicans' advantage? The people have had enough. I think the people of Illinois have come to the conclusion that the political class is not capable of solving these problems that they've created. And the best example about that is nobody is talking about how we can make Illinois a great state again. Nobody is talking about what we can do to make Illinois the economic powerhouse that it used to be, because frankly, all those other problems that you talked about, the budget, the pensions, the education funding, none of that gets fixed unless people want to come to Illinois again. And until we address that problem, we're not going to get out of this hole that we're in. And that's the thing that I think I can add to the discussion is I'm talking about what can we do to move Illinois forward and make Illinois competitive again. And it seems like I'm about the only candidate that's doing that.
Yeah, you say, what's the problem in Illinois? The problem's the government.
It is. We have tremendous resources in this state. We have tremendous talent.
We've got roads. We've got nuclear power. We've got coal.
Well, look at our location here in southern Illinois. We've got, you know, one of the only locations in the nation where there are three major rivers that are going through this area.
And the only town that the confluence of two major rivers where there's not an economic powerhouse. The only one in the state. I didn't do the research. The research company did, and that's an interesting outcome.
But you're absolutely right. The one thing that we're leading the nation in is units of government. There's over 7,000 taxing units of government in the state of Illinois. I think really, you know, it's an inescapable conclusion that Illinois is a state, a great state, that's being held back by its awful government. And that's why so many people, I think, are supporting me, because they realize that I'm not a part of that political crowd. I haven't spent my adult life in politics. I spent my adult life in the United States Marine Corps, where it's not about, you know, picking fights. It's about working together to get the job done. And people want that. We need that in politics right now.
How are we going to get the job done when everybody is trying to tinkle down each other's backs for their next session, next term? How do we get, and because the, and I was talking about this yesterday, the cliche, well, we need to work together, we need to compromise, we need to see each other's point of view. You know what? That's what should have been done all along. Don't disagree with it. But the fact is, somebody has to swing a hammer. There has to be some nuts and bolts ideas. What's your nuts and bolts idea to get Illinois back on track?
Well, the three things that I think there is bipartisan support for, and I believe I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I think after this election nonsense is over with, I think you are going to see people come together and support three bipartisan ideas that will help make our state move in the right direction.
Okay,
the first thing is workers' comp reform. I think we can. I'm not talking about having Illinois be the tip of the spear. I'm just talking about making us competitive with Illinois. I mean, with Missouri, Indiana, Kentucky, Iowa, Wisconsin, the states that are stealing our jobs. There's bipartisan support for that. I think that will make people want to come to Illinois and create jobs here. Another one is tort reform. I think there's bipartisan support for tort reform. Right now, there's a lot of forum shopping and venue shopping that goes on. That increases our insurance costs. I think if we have some reform on that, that will be something that will make the job creators want to come here. And then the last thing that I think will make the job creators want to come back to Illinois or stay in Illinois is term limits. And I realize that that's not a direct economic tie-in, but you have to realize that the job creators are looking for an excuse, I believe, to come here or stay here. And if we have term limits, real term limits, not any of this, oh, well, just, you know, let's let the legislative leaders pass the gavel around amongst themselves, but real term limits where you say, I'm only going to serve three terms, you can only serve three terms, that is something that will make the job creators say, you know what, the political class that gooned things up so badly is going to be turning over. I'm going to take a chance on Illinois again. So those are three concrete proposals that I think can pass, and I think that will make a difference.
I want to talk specifically about some messaging involving you from your opponent and your opponent's party. I want to differentiate, because sometimes it's the opponent and sometimes it's their party. You look down at the bottom and look at the small script, and I freeze it on my DVR and go, oh, that's who's paying for this one, okay? That you want winners and losers in the education funding solution, that you want downstate students to not have the proper resources. Do you think that I'm oversimplifying the message first? That's the depiction. Am I correct?
That has been, unfortunately, that has been the message.
I'd like you to specifically talk about your ideas in funding. Andy Menar, funding formula. What are you thinking about when it can be done for schools in downstate Illinois so that we're not reading books that are 20 years old in our students?
Well, first of all, whenever people start talking about equitable funding, it does involve picking winners and losers. And, you know, Senator Menar's messaging that he comes down here and, you know, his proposal, which my opponent has adopted, would pick winners and losers, not between Chicago and downstate. That's their message. The winners and losers are right here within the 58th Senate District. So under my opponent's funding proposal, you would have Carbondale schools would lose money. You would have some of the school districts a little bit further north in the district would be absolutely gouged by this funding proposal. Waterloo schools would lose 38% of their state funding. Columbia schools would lose 41% of their state funding. Redbud schools would lose 79% of their state funding under the Sheila Simon-backed funding proposal changes. And they like to say, well, oh, that's not true. We have a hold harmless provision in there. Well, that hold harmless provision, Tom, expires after 3 years. That's like we hear these advertisements saying, buy now, make no payments until 2017. That doesn't mean you're getting it for free. That means the bill comes due in a couple years. So that's one of the reasons that I think this Menar funding proposal is a really bad proposal. It would make things worse. The other thing that's bad about it is it, right off the top, it's a big wealth transfer to the Chicago public schools. And then lastly, it doesn't identify any revenue stream. So I agree that we've got to do better on education funding. What I would like to see us do is come up with a baseline level that we need to say all students in Illinois are entitled to this much of state spending, and then get our economy going so that we can make that investment in our education. But the Simon-backed Menar proposal really is just, it is a bad proposal for the 58th Senate District. And my job is not to try to solve the Chicago Public Schools funding problem. My job, if the voters trust me to be their state senator, is to be an advocate for the 58th Senate District, and that means all of the 58th Senate District.
One of the things that Illinoisans need to see happen is a rebuilding in confidence in Springfield that does not exist right now.
You're absolutely right, and I think one of the ways that I would be able to help that is just, I would be somebody that will go up there and advocate for our region, somebody who's not going to be just a party line type person. I think as a candidate, you have a responsibility to give the voters a reason to support you, to differentiate yourself from your opponent. And I'm not talking about the silly personal attacks, but I'm talking about the bright line policy reasons. And we put out in our campaign six reasons to pick Paul in 2016. The first one was I'm pro-coal. You know, I will support the coal industry. The second one was that I was pro-life. We were counting them down, actually, so it went
right,
6-5-4. I talked about the reforms already that I think we need to move us forward. I also talked about how I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. The NRA has given me their highest grade that they will give a non-incumbent candidate. They gave my opponent an F. But the last two things on that list that we were counting down really talked about what we need to restore our confidence in government. Reason number two was just, I have a completely different background from my opponent. She's my opponent, you know, I consider my opponent a friend. She's given honorable service to our state, but her background is in politics. She has spent her entire adult politics, whether that's been introducing Governor Blagojevich when he was running for re-election, cutting campaign commercials for Barack Obama. She has spent her entire adult life in politics. And as I said earlier, I think at this point in our state's history, we've all come to the conclusion that our political class is not capable of solving the problems they've created. So really, at this point, we need senators in Springfield who have demonstrated leadership outside of the political realm. So our choice here is really somebody whose background is as a lieutenant governor or somebody whose background is as a lieutenant colonel. I think we need somebody who has that background of leadership and working together. So that was choice, you know, that was reason number two. But then the last reason is that I'm going to be an independent leader for the region. And I ask people to look at what my record has been since I got out of the Marine Corps and came back and got involved in politics. I ran for Illinois Attorney General as a Republican, but I ran because I was an outsider. We needed somebody who was not a political insider to fight corruption. And you remember that race, Tom. I was not the Republican Party's choice. I didn't get one dime of financial support from the state Republican Party, but we had a great grassroots campaign, and we wound up winning 68 out of 102 counties and almost 40% against Lisa Madigan. And during that race, I took a position that wasn't popular with the leadership of the Republican Party. I said that the pensions fix was blatantly unconstitutional and it wasn't a viable solution. And I wound up being vindicated
Supreme
on that.
Supreme Court vindicated.
Yeah,
there.
The Supreme Court said it was seven, they agreed with me 7-0.
Anybody
nothing.
Who knew how to read.
Right. So anyway, now, even in this race, you know, there are issues that I disagree with Governor Rauner on. I disagree with him on some of his collective bargaining proposals. He wants to pare back collective bargaining rights. I come from a union family. Both my parents were school teachers and union members. The unions came through for my family. So I'm a candidate who has a track record of doing what I think is right. You know, whether that is popular with the party leadership or not. And that's the kind of leadership that we need in order to restore our trust in government, because you're absolutely right. Government is only as good as the people that make it up. And if we don't trust our government, you know, that's the That's the shortest road to anarchy.
It is, because that Constitution is a contract that I am willing to be governed by this government if I have these considerations. And people don't think about this. They almost give it some kind of religious context. The Constitution is a contract in which we've all signed, much like that driver's license in my pocket with my signature. That's a contract with me in the state of Illinois, allowing me to drive if I observe the rules. Constitution's the same, and sometimes that Constitution is ignored, like the provision about having a balanced budget.
Exactly.
Right? Before I let you go today, I've been giving this a lot of thought, and I kind of struggle, but I know you've been out knocking on door to door, and I've been thinking about the people that I've been talking to and how they feel about what is going on, how they think about what is going on. And in those two categories, I watch, and I always kind of think about this, depending on the circumstance, anger is the face that fear wears. I see a lot of angry people. And I wonder if it's skepticism, we've become jaded, and then I start thinking more and more, and I wonder if lifelong residents like myself, it's not we're so much afraid of Illinois government, we've been humiliated by it. We've been humiliated when we're compared to other states. We've seen a state that was the fifth biggest industrial state take a firm, hard beating. And I'm wondering if that is not something that will be important on Election Day.
Well, I think you have hit on something that is going to be crucial, and that's just that level of frustration, that level of anger. But the one thing that I would like to say to your listeners is, don't give in to despair. One of the things I get when I knock on doors is people say, "Paul, you're a great guy. But why? This is hopeless." I don't think it is. I disagree with that. Illinois is the state that I grew up in. It's the state that I love. When I was finished with my time in the Marine Corps, you can, over the course of your career, designate what you want your home of record to be, and the military will send you anywhere when your service is done. Well, my wife and I wanted to come back to Illinois, and it's because we believe in this state. And there is too much talent, too many resources for us to stay down. I really believe that Illinois is going to make a comeback, and I've been willing to put my put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. I came back here. I've been willing to put my family on family life on hold for a couple of years to be involved in politics. And it's not because I want a second career as a politician. Nobody in their right mind wants that. But it's because this state is going to be the economic powerhouse, the awesome state that it was before. I'm confident in that, and I hope the voters trust me to try to work my hardest to make that a reality.
We'd like to thank our guest this morning. Joining us here, Paul Schimpf. Paul is the Republican candidate for the Senate seat currently held by Senator Dave Luckdefeld.